Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark.
Strange Things, Volume 2. This happened to me about 3 or 4 years ago. My friend Andy and I were in an old abandoned barn taking pictures and videos of the place just because we were bored. It was probably 2 to 3 in the afternoon when we were there. Andy had decided to go into the barn to check it out and see what kind of pictures we could take inside. I stayed outside just to go ahead and set up the camera and the tripods. I was getting a good focus measure when I saw a hawk fly over the same barn that Andy had just gone into. I followed it with a 35mm camera, and right as it flew over the barn, I noticed a figure standing on top of the roof of the barn. Keep in mind, I'm seeing this through the camera lens. I put the camera away from my face and looked up, and there was nothing there. I put the camera back up to my face, and the figure was still there. I started to snap pictures as I called Andy to come outside the barn. He got out, and I told him to grab the camcorder and start recording at the area where my camera was pointed. He did, and we both watched through our respective lenses to see the figure step off the edge of the barn, and we saw the shadow of a rope go taut, and then nothing. We were pretty freaked out, so we went back to his place. We took the video off the camera and went to get the film developed. While we waited the hour it took, we went to the public library and looked up the location of the barn. Apparently, there was a girl who had hung herself from the roof of that barn in the 1910s. We looked at the picture of her, and it was the same girl we had seen. Pretty creepy. What's more creepy is I have to go past that place every day on my way to school. And I still think about that as the hanging barn. Next story. When I was 6 or 7, I lived in a trailer park in Sunnydale, Wisconsin. It was a small trailer, but that's all my parents could afford. I had a small kitchen, a small living room, and only 3 bedrooms. A hallway was connected to all 3 bedrooms. I had to share a bedroom with my sister. We shared a bed also. One night when I was asleep, I woke up with my bedroom door open, and when I looked out, there was a small girl outside my bedroom door. I thought it was my sister at first and was going to go and tell her it was bedtime when I accidentally bumped into her. I realized it was not my sister outside the door. I sat there staring at her and she stared at me. I screamed, and the little girl disappeared. I woke up the whole house. My parents came into the room to see what was wrong. I told them that there was a little girl outside of my door. They didn't believe me and told me it was just a dream. I believed them, and I went back to sleep eventually. Another time I saw a ghost is when I was in my parents' room sleeping with my mom and sister. I was looking out in the hallway when a man materialized before my eyes and appeared to be floating forward, but he didn't move. I just stared, hoping he would go away, but I just ended up putting my head in the pillow and then eventually fell asleep. I didn't tell anyone about that, afraid they would say it was another dream or that I was seeing things. The last time I saw a ghost in that trailer was when my mom was in the room. It was a woman watering a plant, but there was no plant there, just a large piece of wood. I could almost see the plant. I told my mom to look by the piece of wood just to amuse me. She did, and she also saw the ghost. My mom freaked out and took me, my sister, and my brother out of the house and went to a neighbor's. She told my neighbor what happened, and the neighbor had lived there all of their lives and told us that a couple of years before, a stranger had come to the house asking to use the phone, and they let him. Then he pulled out a gun and shot everyone there and was going to use their house as a hideout because he was a convicted killer. They never found the bodies of the family that used to live there. I think that's why they hung out. We moved out immediately afterwards, though. Next story. We moved into an 80-plus-year-old house a little over 5 years ago. Our youngest son was 2, and he refused to go into the bathroom alone. He said he saw black eyes in there. We brushed it aside, thinking that he didn't want to be potty-trained and or he had a very active imagination. Not too long after we moved in, things would disappear from where we had just set them down. Hairbrushes, keys, cups of coffee, etc., and reappear in another area. We often felt like we were being watched. I would feel taps on my shoulder as I worked on the computer. My children would come to me and say, "What?" because they thought I'd called them, but I hadn't. One of my sons and I were in the kitchen talking as I did dishes. From across the room, a box of cereal flew from the top of the refrigerator, hit the window over the sink, and fell into the sink. We just stared at each other without saying a word. I began to see a large, dark figure going from the bathroom into the hallway and through the wall and back again. My husband didn't believe in spirits. Well, he didn't before, but he saw it too. The kids began telling us that they saw a large black thing walking around the house. We had not told them what we had seen. One night, a friend of mine came over and we were watching a ghost cam online. The lights were out in the computer room. All of our kids were over our shoulders looking at the cam with us. The lights turned on. Thinking it was one of my kids, I said, "Hey, turn them back off." The lights went off. My friend said that she kind of like turned around to see, and all the kids were right there with us, nowhere near the light switch. I said, "Well, I want the lights off," and they turned off again. One night, I was in my bed watching TV. My husband was at work. My two youngest boys were asleep on the sofa in the living room. My daughter was at a sleepover, and two of my older sons were watching TV in the living room. My son came in and asked me if I'd heard anything. I laughed and said no. I asked him if he was watching a scary movie and got spooked. He said no, they were watching Family Guy. Nothing spooky about that. I told him he was being paranoid. He came back in a few minutes later and asked me to come into the living room. Ticked as I was, I went in and started working on a sewing project just so I could keep busy while waiting on them to feel more comfortable or fall asleep. Both boys looked frightened as they said, "Mom, did you hear that?" I had the sewing machine going, so I hadn't heard anything. I sat and waited about 5 minutes. Nothing happened. I started sewing again, and they stopped me again. I was really getting upset and frustrated. I began putting up my sewing project. I was stopped by a very loud thud from the second floor above me. The boys kept asking me if I had heard that. I blamed it on the cats. My son pointed to the two sleeping cats on the floor. Before I could come up with another logical explanation, it happened again, and again, and again. For about an hour, we heard continuous sounds of banging, thuds, and the sound of furniture moving on the wood floor upstairs. We attempted to go up the stairway to see what was going on, but we were honestly too afraid to go up the first step even. Finally, the sound stopped. The boys fell asleep, and I stayed awake until my husband came home at 6 a.m. He asked me why I was up so early. I told him that I hadn't been asleep. I was hesitant to tell him what had happened since he really didn't believe in hauntings or spirits despite having seen the dark figure before. He asked me what was wrong. I told him. He laughed and headed up the stairs. I was right behind him. He stopped before the last step. I looked around his shoulder and saw that our oldest son's room had been demolished. Box springs were off of their beds. The mattresses were leaning on the walls. The dresser was in the middle of the room, with a TV on top of it. Toys, books, papers, and clothing were strewn all over the room. Without speaking, we cleaned the room. I talked to a friend about it, and she suggested that we use white sage to cleanse the house. I also did a lot of Googling about hauntings. I took my digital camera upstairs in the dark and took pictures wherever I felt funny or cold. When I came downstairs, I also took a picture of my fireplace because I had always felt funny there. Nothing showed up on the LED screen of my digital camera, but I uploaded the pictures anyway. We saw orbs everywhere. In one area of the upstairs hallway, it looked like a galaxy of sorts, hundreds of orbs all around. At the bottom of the stairs, there was a red blob. The photo of the fireplace showed a white woman in what appeared to be a bathrobe of sorts, and she was very bright white. Wanting to make sure that I didn't suggest to anyone what it looked like, I just showed friends and families the photo. Everyone said it was a woman. We went and got some white sage and burned it all over the house, outside, inside, everywhere. Things calmed down. I was talking to a neighbor, and she said that devil worshippers had rented our house before we moved in. She said very odd sounds came from the house, and that after they had been evicted, The neighbor and her husband had come to visit the owners while they cleaned and were horrified to see demonic graffiti sprayed on all of the walls. I thought that explained it and was glad we had cleansed the house. Within a couple of months, it started back again. My daughter yelled for us one night. We ran up there and her new television was flipping channels. I told her she was sitting on a remote. She pointed out her nightstand and it was there. I took the batteries out. The TV continued switching channels. The next day, our older boys yelled for us. We ran up to the room and were astonished to find that every channel was French-speaking. We don't have satellite TV, just cable. And we don't live in a French-speaking area or normally have French-speaking television channels. We turned off the television. Our bathtub began running water while nobody was even in that part of the house, and our toilet would flush on its own. I had a self-cleaning oven, you know, when you slide the lever to lock the oven door to turn it on for the self-cleaning, how it makes a buzzing sound. While we were in the living room watching TV, the buzzing sound began happening over and over. We walked into the kitchen to see the lever going back and forth very quickly, and the digital clock control was changing from numbers to letters to symbols at a furious rate. We stood there watching this in silence for almost 5 minutes. My kids looked terrified, so I felt I had to take control somehow. I yelled in a very stern voice, "Knock it off!" Immediately, it stopped, and the oven door completely fell off onto the floor. I inspected the door. It looked as if the metal semicircular hinges had been cut. I tried to talk to the spirits. I don't know why, but I felt one was an elderly lady who had grown up there and inherited the house. I have no idea who the dark one is. I said they could stay if that's what they wished to, but please, not to frighten the family anymore. I said that they would be happier if they went to the other side. Thinking I felt a little foolish for talking to them, I stopped. I began feeling very depressed and sad. I felt like crying. At that point, I began a 3-month battle with deep depression. I just felt so hopeless, and there was no real reason. My life was great. My family was great. There was just no real reason for my sadness. When we would leave, I felt much better. If we went away for a weekend, I would be fine until we returned to the house. I love this house, so it wasn't my living situation that was depressing me. I worked through it. I seemed to get better after I acknowledged that maybe I was feeling sadness from the spirits. My kids had begun seeing the dark thing again. Now it seems like the area of our foyer and living room, the kitchen, bath, hallway, and my daughter, who doesn't believe at all in spirits, said she saw it standing at the foot of her bed. A lot of visitors to our home say they feel kind of freaked out. We don't tell people what goes on here, so they don't have any preconceived ideas of a haunted house. They just say that they feel frightened or as if something is watching them. My daughter's friends spent a weekend with us, and she said she felt a very cold spot in the living room. I felt it was where she pointed it out. I brought a stool into the area and sat there. My back got cold. My son and the friend touched my back and it was ice cold. My face, hands, arms, and legs were warm. She knew nothing about our issues here. She said that earlier when she had taken a bath, she got creeped out and felt she was being watched. She hurried and rinsed the soap off and ran out of the bathroom. I asked her if she felt funny anywhere, and she kept talking about the fireplace. For 4 months, I woke up with a very deep burning scratch on my arms, legs, back, and face. Some of them left scars, and they burned. Usually they were in groups of threes, almost always in the middle, the one that's the deepest one. I don't have fingernails that are that long, and there's nothing in my bedding that would cause scratches. It's not our cats either. We don't have the cats anymore. We have a dog, but she sleeps in my son's room. Sometimes she stops settling growls at nothing. I don't know if I'm being singled out because I did the sage so it hates me now, or if it's ticked because I'm not afraid of it. I don't know why I'm the one that's getting scratched up. I'm leery of trying the sage again because I don't want to get it upset or provoke it to do more. But at this point, what else is there that's left to do?
Next story. Years ago, we lived in an old building that at one time was a funeral home.
was not uncommon to hear strange noises and things at all times of the day. The first summer we were there, my daughter was just a baby. I had just laid her down for a nap and lay down on the couch for a quick nap myself. After just a few minutes, I heard a man's voice calling my name. I got up and looked around and saw no one. I laid back down and I heard him calling my name again, but this time louder and more demanding. I got up, went to look in on my daughter's room. She had pulled the blankets up over her head and couldn't breathe. I firmly believe that it was the man who had shot himself in the basement years before, warning me about my daughter. To this day, there are still caskets and vaults downstairs. They also still have the embalming table that was used for the funeral home. My daughter also says that she would see people walking past her door every night dressed in period clothes. This continued until we moved out after 8 years. Next story. Now, some people call me a liar. Others tell me that I was too young to know what I saw. I wasn't. To me, a 9-year-old kid doesn't make up something this big. And it all started one day in our hotel. I live in Illinois, but I was staying at a hotel with my parents in Colorado. The hotel was very new, not even a year old. After dinner, my parents and grandparents went with me downstairs to the pool. My grandparents and my dad watched me swim while my mom went outside to soak in the hot tub. This pool was your average indoor pool, except the walls were different. They were almost like clear plastic, except there were windows so you were able to see outside. It was really laid out, so it was pitch black when you tried to look out. You could only see a dim reflection of the pool and the chairs. A little while later, my dad left with my grandparents to go back to their house. My grandparents went upstairs while my dad went outside to get my mom. I got out of the pool while they were gone and looked at my reflection in the glass. I saw myself, but then I saw something else. I squinted and looked in closer. I saw a man. Now, this is where I started to reconsider my sanity. I blinked and looked around. I was completely alone. I looked at a different window to make sure that I wasn't seeing someone else that was outside. I couldn't see anything. I looked back at the window. I saw myself. And as I looked deeper, I saw the man. He was smaller than a regular-sized person, like he was far away. The man seemed almost like he was transparent and was in the air. Then I started to feel really cold. His shoes were black and he was wearing black trousers. He had a white shirt, like one of those man blouses from way back when. He also wore a black tailcoat and was wearing a top hat. He looked like he was around 40 or so. He was walking slowly and his head was down. I continued staring, then he looked at me. Just then, my mom opened the back door. I jumped. "Michelle, are you okay?" she asked. I didn't tell her what I saw. No one in my family believes in ghosts, and neither do I. It really freaked me out, though. I asked her if anyone was outside. She said she was the only one out there. I tried to push it out of my mind, but I couldn't. A little while later, I looked again. He was still there. I jumped into the pool and tried not to think about it. Eventually, my mom and I left. As we did, the fire alarm went off. We went upstairs to find that it was a false alarm, but no one had pulled the alarm. They didn't know how it happened. It really freaked me out. For the rest of the night, I had a weird feeling. It was like someone was watching me, but not in a bad way. I don't believe in the paranormal, but I have a feeling that maybe it was a ghost. Maybe the hotel was new because it was rebuilt. Maybe a long time ago there was a hotel in that spot. It burnt down and maybe people died. That ghost that I saw could have been a man who died in the fire, who came back to keep the same tragedy from happening again. Well, maybe that's why he set off the fire alarm. Next story. Well, this didn't happen to me, it happened to my brother. It's his story, really. It was October, and my brother took Rocky, his dog, up north to visit our relatives. It was getting close to midnight when he came home, and it was real dark. The entire time, Rocky was quiet, and he was resting in the back seat. It was getting dark, and they were on the road back home, and my brother had his radio on and was trying to keep himself awake. He got close to a small town called Westfield, which is a very popular rest area close to our home. It looks western-like. He noticed there were no other cars out except his. If you know the area, you'll know that there's a cemetery on the other side of the rest area. Everything around him was real dark except his headlights, of course. All of a sudden, he felt goosebumps on his arm, and it went to the back of his neck where he felt the little hair stand up. Rocky started growling and he started to bark uncontrollably. My brother yelled at him to knock it off, because it scared him a little. Rocky quieted down, but he was still growling. My brother adjusted his mirror to look at the back seat to see if Rocky was okay. He noticed a figure sitting in the back seat, so he rubbed his eyes and looked again. The figure was still there, and Rocky was growling at it. He was showing his teeth at the figure. The figure, as my brother described it, was darker than all of its surroundings. When he glanced at the figure, he almost thought it was our 10-year-old niece. But that would have been impossible. Next story. Well, this happened back when I was younger, and it involved my cousin. Her name is Norma. Well, her and her husband just moved into their first house. I went over to help them unpack and clean up. The very first time I set foot in that place, I felt uncomfortable, like all eyes were staring at me. I told my cousin about this. She said I would feel better once they had unloaded the boxes and made the house feel cozier. She did say, "It's just a little empty in here, that's all." I ignored that feeling and tried not to think about it. Several weeks went by. Norma called asking for my mom. After my mom got off the phone, Mom said there had been an accident at Norma's and we had to go there right away. When we got to Norma's, inside of the house was pitch black. I was very concerned when I didn't see their car in the driveway. My mom banged on the door, and no one came to open. It wasn't like we lived far from her either. It was only a 10-minute drive. So Mom and I went back home. The next morning, Mom called Norma. A woman's voice answered. My mom asked if this was Norma's house and if Norma was home. The woman said she'd been living there for 15 years and asked if this was a joke. She also said there was no one by the name of Norma that lived in the house. My mom checked the telephone number again. It was indeed Norma's number. So I tried calling the same number, and no one picked up. I tried a third time. The same woman picked up and said I got the wrong number. A week later, I ran into Norma at the supermarket. I asked her if her mother-in-law had moved in because whenever I called, an old lady kept answering. Norma turned white in the face. She said she left to live with her mother-in-law about 2 weeks ago because her house was haunted. She told me about seeing an old lady walking around their house, whispering to herself and disappearing when Norma screamed. She also said that late at night, she would hear dishes banging or the water running as if someone was taking a shower. No one else lived there except her and her husband. Norma hired movies to get her things out of the house, and they lived elsewhere. But every time I drive past that place, I get chills. Last I heard was that another couple moved in, then out right away, and no one's lived there since. But some nights I'll see a light on in the attic when I drive past. And it makes me wonder, is that the old lady that kept telling us we had a wrong number? Next story. This happened to my family when I was very young. It was many years ago, and what happened was my mother and I were living with her mother, my grandmother, and she lived in a very old house with a very troubling history. It was around the late 1950s when a man went insane and murdered his family, which consisted of a wife, two sons, and a young daughter. Their bodies were found in a small shut-off cellar that my grandma had in her basement. My mother and I, we left for a doctor's appointment, but my mother didn't tell my grandmother that we were leaving. My grandma was doing laundry in the basement when we left, and on her way up the stairs, she saw a little girl around my age, so she assumed it was me. The so-called me was sitting on the top stair and asked my grandma for a glass of water. My grandma got the water and was walking back towards the basement door to give it to me. Then the doorbell rang, and she put the cup down on the dining room table. When she opened the door, it was me and my mom, because my mom had forgotten something, and we had to go back and get it. Startled, my grandma asked, "How could my mother and me be outside the entire time when she had just seen me in the basement?" Mom confirmed that I was with her the whole time. I had not been inside the house. My grandmother told her what happened, and when she went to show my mother where the girl was sitting, the glass of water that she had left on the table was gone. Now explain that one. Next story. My in-laws live close to Black Ridge in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. It's located close to the Stora Enso paper mill in town. This happened about a year ago, Yeah, it was a year ago. It was a sunny July afternoon. It was too hot to stay indoors, and I was getting really antsy. I didn't want to stay home because the weather was too beautiful to waste indoors. My husband was working on building a greenhouse for my mother-in-law, so I dragged his younger sisters, aged 12 and 15, with me on a walk. His younger sisters were telling ghost stories as we headed over to Blackbridge. One of the girls said Blackbridge was haunted and that people had seen a dark figure walk around the area. I laughed at their stories, saying that it was just an urban legend and brushed it off my shoulders. When we approached Blackbridge, there was a gate that held back people from slipping into the river. We stood on a ledge overlooking the river and on the other side of town. On the river, we could see people on their boats and fishing. The girls started talking about the stories they'd heard about Blackbridge. I laughed at the nonsense. I leaned over the ledge to look below, and I saw open shells of crayfish on rocks. I thought, who would be crazy enough to go down there and catch crayfish? Again, I brushed it off as if it was nothing and continued enjoying the scenery. All of a sudden, I heard a splashing sound coming from the waters. I looked down and saw pebbles dropping into the water. I leaned closer to look below the ledge at the bottom of the river to see who was throwing those pebbles, but I couldn't locate anyone. The girls also heard this and tried to see where the pebbles were coming from. I thought this was a mean joke some local kids were playing with us because we were talking about ghost stories, so I told them to ignore it and continued talking. We heard the noise again. This time more rocks were thrown into the water and the splashes were louder. To our surprise, when we looked down to the riverbank to see who was doing it, we didn't see anyone throwing those rocks, but rocks were literally flying off the ground and into the river. It was as if an invisible person were throwing them from the side of the river into the water. I realized that this was not a human, a local kid with a joke, but in reality something from the other side. We screamed and ran all the way back to my parents-in-law, just when I thought nothing could happen on a beautiful, bright, sunny day. Anything, anywhere, is possible. Next story. Do I have a ghost at my job? Well, my story begins with my aunt and I starting our own cleaning business for offices and such. We took on some subcontract work, which stupid me is still stuck doing. Debbie stopped working with me due to family commitments. The place we worked at has 3 levels. It's quite a big job, and between the two of us, it takes about 4.5 hours a night, 5 nights a week. At first, when Debbie worked there, not a lot happened, mainly her asking me what I wanted. Almost like if I had called her, which of course I hadn't. I would keep telling her I hadn't called her. She had no idea what she was on about. This went on for a few months. I, of course, was quite benevolent as to the other goings-on and had paid no attention at all. After Debbie left, I took on another person to help out with the workload. One night, we had gone into the second level and there was this terrible stench coming from the kitchen in the common area. It was so bad that it took over the whole floor. We forgot about the smell and went into the main office where we were cleaning, and as we were emptying some waste paper bins, we heard this rattling of the double glass doors. I thought it was just someone going into the office across the hall. It happened again a few minutes later, and when we investigated, we found no one. Now, I'm sure you can appreciate how frightened we both were. This happened again. We made it downstairs to the first level, where we could not leave each other's sight. Bathrooms, kitchens, and the lot got done together. I left the keys, which is about 10 keys total, on the table just inside the main glass doors. We went to empty the waste paper bins. Upon our return, they had vanished. We checked everywhere and could not find them. We called security to escort us to our cars, as we were quite frightened by this stage. The next day, the keys were found by staff in the men's bathroom, which happened to be the first place we looked. Many other small things went on over time, like chemicals going missing, then showing up where we had never put them in the first place. Phones would start playing the radio all by themselves and stopping as we walked away. Some phones, if you press the hold button while not in use, have this function. Last night was one of the worst. The other staff member started before I did and called about 30 minutes before I got there to tell me someone, it was a woman's voice, had said hi, but there was no one there in the building. The woman was scared to death on the phone, so I told her to go downstairs until I arrived with my uncle, who would help out from time to time. We all went together and nothing else happened until some hours later. I'd gone down with Jody in the lift to help her with some rubbish. I then left her and said I was going up to get Carrie, set alarms and such. When I got out of the lift, the vacuum cleaner was there, but not Carrie. I heard his laughter coming from my left side behind me. When I looked, no one was there. Carrie then came out of the glass doors on my right. I asked him what he was laughing about, but he claimed not to have been laughing. We went down the lift to pack everything away. We have our own cleaning room where we store everything. We could not find the mop, so we all went up the lift again to level one to look for it. We found it and proceeded to come down again. That was when I realized that there were four people in the lift, not three. I can tell you, I have never been so frightened in my life. It was only a glimpse, but it was there. I said nothing until we reached the ground floor and thought we were safe in the cleaning room. We were sitting at the table. This room was quite large when Jody started to freak out about the light. When we all looked up, the whole light, which is a tube light on chains, was swinging. Carrie steadied the light, and we tested to see if the closing of the door could create this. Nothing we did, other than manually pushing the light, could make it move. I've resigned, and will finish out the month, but I will no longer work in that office. I've never felt as scared of something that I cannot see in my life, because I know that it's something evil, quite evil.